think I ended up being like either of them, now that I think about it. My mother worked.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We began just the third presidential impeachment trial in American history. The president's lawyers will finally receive a level playing field with the House Democrats and will finally be able to present the president's case. Finally, some fairness.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This is not a process for a fair trial. This is the process for a rigged trial.
Leader McConnell promised his trial rules. Let's enact the same rules as the Clinton trial rules. It turns out the McConnell rules are not even close to the Clinton rules. The McConnell resolution does not admit the record of the House impeachment proceedings into evidence. So McConnell seems to want a trial with no existing evidence and no new evidence.
And what's officially going into evidence doesn't make a big difference because the senators are, of course, free to look at all the information they have that comes from the House. I think the Democrats make a mistake when they cry outrage time and time again. If everything is an outrage, then nothing is an outrage.
You've won this round, Pierre.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The founder said this is the ultimate test of a Congress and a presidency if they've done something so bad they have to be removed. They're just simply overturning the will of the people in the last election.
And it's my hope that we'll push through that and have that motion to dismiss and get through this national nightmare as fast as possible.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Look, I don't tolerate bullshit. Terribly well. If you have your birthday, I'm not going to call you up to congratulate you.
Hillary Clinton is talking about Bernie Sanders. It says, quote, he was in Congress for years. He had one senator to support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him.
On a good day, my wife likes me, so let's clear the air on that one.
Why do you think the secretary is still talking about 2016?
That is a good question. Ask him.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
You know, it's amazing to me that that CNN is so out front in their hatred of Bernie Sanders. What's this all about? Why is Bernie Sanders any less likable than the fake Indian? I don't quite get it. I don't understand it. But they didn't like Bernie in 2016, and they certainly don't like him in 2020. They tried to set him up in that debate last week. And now they're just going crazy with this story about how Hillary has got this new documentary, a new puff piece, hagiographic, meaning Lives of the Saints type documentary, about how nobody likes Bernie Sanders. So we have a whole cut here. This is CNN going on at some length about how Hillary doesn't like Bernie. As if, why don't we have a voiceover to sound about how CNN doesn't like Bernie Sanders? Cut two.
Reporting just came out of a documentary that includes former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who you worked for in the campaign, talking about Bernie Sanders. And I want to read you what she says here in this documentary, apparently. The Hollywood Reporter's got this today. It says, quote, Hillary Clinton's talking about Bernie Sanders. He was in Congress for years. He had one senator to support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He got nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it.
Why did people support Hillary Clinton? They felt sorry for her because Bill Clinton was cheating on her in public, right? I mean, that's the only way she got elected to the Senate. And the only way she got elected to the Senate was because JFK Jr.'s plane fell out of the sky in 1999 when he was flying it to Nantucket. I mean, other than that, she never would have been in the Senate. She never would have been a presidential candidate twice. She never would have been the Secretary of State. She just would have been a sconed woman, right?
I understand why, in some ways, the media, which is the same as the Democrat Party, they kind of go hand in hand, wouldn't want Bernie to win because maybe they don't think Trump, if he goes up against socialism, he'll crush Bernie. But what I don't understand is, if anyone's base is very, very loyal and very, very resentful when they lose, it's Bernie's base.
Bitter.
They're bitter.
Are you a scorned woman?
Susan Sarandon was a Bernie supporter, and yeah, she would get in fights with other celebrities like Deborah Messing because she wouldn't support Hillary after Bernie lost. So my question for all these people is, it's fine if you want to backstab Bernie and put out all these bad stories about Bernie, but what are you going to do when you lose that massive chunk of his voters who won't vote for anyone else? They've said that before. They're the only group of people who are basically like, if our guy doesn't win, we're going to vote for Trump.
Well, you know, Hillary in this documentary apparently is claiming that the Bernie bros are misogynists and they hate women.
They just didn't like her.
But I think you're right, though, Grace, that there are a lot of women that are Bernie bros, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't like Hillary Clinton, and they don't like Elizabeth Warren either, and they don't like CNN for trying to backstab Bernie.
There's a lot of Bernie bros, including Emily Ratajkowski, who's a huge model, Susan Sarandon. There's plenty of powerful females who support Bernie. Just because they didn't like Hillary doesn't mean they don't like women. It's like people on the text line who don't like me. Doesn't mean they don't like all women. They just don't like this one.
Yeah, I think that I just don't get it. I mean, why is Bernie any more loathsome than any of these other people in the fight? I mean, I'm not a big Bernie fan, never have been, but I don't find him any less likable than the fake Indian or Michael Bloomberg or Klobuchar.
And honestly, they messed with the election in the first place in 2016 because they thought they knew better than the Democrat voters. So they said, listen, Bernie can never win. We'll put up Hillary. She'll win. But she didn't win. So don't you think this time around, CNN and MSNBC and the DNC would kind of say, well, we'll just let people decide. And whoever they think's going to win, well, don't you want that?
Yeah.
The people to speak and say, this is who we want. They're going to again put their hand in it and try to drum up who they think should win. It didn't work for them before. They thought they were so wise. Oh, Hillary will win.
Yeah. 844-500-4242. You know what I think one of the big stories of the day is, and we haven't talked about it, but how about this New Hampshire father who choked the coyote to death in Kensington, New Hampshire? It attacked his son. This coyote was going crazy. He attacked
a beautiful dog. A talented dog.
They have a picture of the coyote running in the street, but he got inside a porch and he attacked two dogs, and the dogs ran back inside the house, and the coyote was trying to follow him, and the 62-year-old woman who owned the dogs tried to stop the coyote, and the coyote bit her, and then the coyote took off. And there was this father was out with a couple of his kids, and the coyote sauntered up to them or rushed them or whatever and grabbed the 2-year-old son, and the father had to strangle the coyote to death. I mean, wow. That's a big story. You think the Democrat nominees for president should congratulate that guy? Maybe invite him to come on, to come up to one of their rallies? 844-500-4242. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has been attacked by one of the Bernie bros. This is a woman. Her name is Zephyr Teachout, believe it or not. Zephyr Teachout. She ran for attorney general in New York. And she wrote this column for The Guardian, the British newspaper. Middle-class Joe Biden has a corruption problem. It makes him a weak candidate. I know it seems crazy, she writes, but a lot of the voters we need, independents and people who might stay home, will look at Biden and say they're all dirty. They've had to the Bernie bros have had to apologize for this. First, Biden's support for finance over working class Americans. His career was bankrolled by the credit card industry. We knew all this, and we're going to have Peter Schweitzer on tomorrow to talk about this. The simplest explanation is the most likely. He did it for his donors. Second, health care. On the day he announced his campaign, Biden went straight to a fundraiser hosted by the co-hosted by the chief executive of a major health insurance corporation. Oh, no. How horrible is that? Third, climate change. Biden signed a pledge not to take money from the fossil fuel industry, then broke his promise. There are many of other there are plenty of other examples that raise questions, like housing and Social Security. Big real estate moguls are playing a major role in Biden's campaign. Unlike his rivals, he has no comprehensive housing plan. When he pushed for cuts to social cuts, he was talking about freezing Social Security. I mean, I'm amused by the fact that he's claiming he didn't cut Social Security. In the moonbat world of the Democrat Party, calling for a freeze means a cut. When he pushed for cuts in the service to Social Security, was he serving donors or his constituency? We have a rare opportunity to win the larger culture of corruption, and we should take it. We will regret it if we don't. So they had to apologize today, the Bernie campaign, for this this column by Zephyr Teachout. Zephyr Teachout.
Why? Why are they apologizing? Because it's mean? Aren't we? Isn't
because
it politics?
Yeah, I mean, and there were no, I mean, you could take issue with the way she was interpreting the facts, but they were facts. Everything she wrote was right.
It was doctored and it was conclusively debunked.
Yes, it was conclusively debunked because Biden didn't like it. Officer Mark says, it takes a burly man to choke a coyote. You know what? That's a good point, Officer Mark. You know, there weren't too many. There's nobody in the Washington Post newsroom who could have choked that coyote yesterday up in Kensington, New Hampshire. It took a burly man. Lucky that guy in Kensington, New Hampshire wasn't down at the pro Second Amendment gun rally outside the Pocahontas building in downtown Richmond yesterday. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
One of the things that's happening is, particularly for Latino and Hispanic kids, is the incredible pressure on them in terms of their sense of security. They go off to school wondering whether when mom comes and picks them up, is she not going to be there because an ICE agent was there to arrest her? Or she takes them to the doctor that she's going to not be there because she is, quote, undocumented and an ICE agent is going to pick them up.
So how do you change the culture?
You change the culture by saying you're going to get fired. You're fired if, in fact, you do that. You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
Hey. Sound like he's from New York State, where they let drunk drivers go, even if they kill somebody. It's not considered a violent felony. He doesn't consider drunk driving a felony. Is it only a felony if an illegal alien does it? You know, I like the fact that, you know, you're going to hear, I don't even know if you've heard it today or not, but the Democrats are going to say no one is above the law. Except if your name is Biden or Clinton or Obama or you're a Democrat or you're an illegal alien, then you're above the law. I mean, that's what he's saying. If you're an illegal alien and you can drive drunk, how is that okay?
And he's proud of it too. You know, he's like, and I don't consider drunk driving a felony.
Yeah,
he's so proud of that stance he's taking.
I like that. That's what the late mayor of Boston, Mumbles Menino, used to say, that the people shouldn't be deported for stealing a car because it wasn't a major crime. I tell you, if your car is stolen, it's a very major crime, you know. But he didn't at that point. He hadn't driven himself for 15, 20 years. He'd had Boston police drivers. It's amazing these people who don't drive suddenly don't worry about the fact that for the first 40, 50, 60 years of their lives, they had to drive every day. They had to buy gasoline. They had to deal with parking spaces. They They had to deal with flat tires, busted, leaking radiator. And then suddenly they get a driver and they don't have to pay for anything. And suddenly they want to take it out on everybody who's still undergoing all those problems of having to deal with a car and commuting every day. God. I'm waiting for the speech, the embargoed speech on the state of the state from Charlie Baker, Tal Duvall. I can't read it directly if I get it tonight before the speech at 7 o'clock. It'll be embargoed, but I want to just see what he has to say about the TCI, Transportation and Climate Initiative, also known as a doubling of the gasoline tax. I think he's going to double down on it. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now, it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction all from home. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more unlikable, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton?
I'm still going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
She's even more unlikable with 87% of the vote.
87% of the vote. Okay. All right. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, and how are you again?
Good.
Good. Sorry, but I would say that gentleman was a hero, the one in New Hampshire that strangled
the coyote.
What a man. What a man. But in California this morning, a three-year-old was walking in a national park, and a mountain lion jumped out and grabbed the kid, and the father beat it off with a backpack. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
wow.
I'd rather take on a coyote than a mountain lion. I agree
Buddy,
with you,
I'd
Joe.
I prefer neither one, but if I'm going for one, I'm going for the coyote every time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. A mountain lion.
But it looks like the mountain lion got away with the backpack.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, as long as it's not the kid, Taylor.
I know.
I
know, but there's probably some irreplaceables.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I can't think of anything that I couldn't replace that I put. I'm looking at my bag right now, or I'm thinking about my bag right now. There's nothing in the bag I couldn't replace. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Taylor's like, oh, but they lost the backpack.
Brian, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brian.
Good evening.
Hi.
I wanted to address this issue of the senators that are presidential candidates, and they're
yes.
pouting about having to go back to the Senate for the trial. And it's a giant farce, and I'll tell you why. In Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 of the U.S. Constitution, that's the section that gives the sole power to the Senate to try the impeachments. The last sentence says, "And no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present."
Mm-hmm.
The senators don't have to be there. But the reason these folks are going there, I think, is twofold. Number one, they can claim some sort of heroship, or they can claim some sort of sympathy for lost time on the campaign trail. And further, if they're not there, makes it even more difficult for them to pull enough Republican votes to get...
I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Believe me, what has taken place in these proceedings is not to be confused with due process. Because due process demands, and the Constitution requires, that fundamental fairness and due process, we're hearing a lot about due process. Due process is designed to protect the person accused.
Not if he's the evil orange man, Jay Sekulow, one of the attorneys for President Trump. 844-500-4242. One of the texters points out that Joe Biden, who just said drunk driving should not be a crime if you're an illegal alien, he's the guy whose wife and, I believe, daughter were killed in 1972 in a traffic accident. And apparently the wife drove through a stop sign or a stoplight and was hit by a truck. And the driver of the truck was not drunk. He was tested, and it was abundantly clear that he was totally sober. But as the years went by, Joe Biden, the guy who now claims he was the first white student at Delaware State, he played Division I football, he came out of the coal mine, he changed the story, and he made this truck driver into a drunk driver.
And it bothered the guy. It haunted the guy for years, and I think, didn't the guy ask him to stop saying it?
I think, the family, I think the guy died at a fairly early age. I mean, he was always haunted by the fact that he had killed this woman and her daughter and injured the two boys. But, after he died, I guess, that's when Biden began saying, well, you know, he was a, you know, he was, this guy was driving drunk. He had a liquid lunch or something. And the family asked him and said, you know, I mean, it's not that you're speculating wildly, you know,
that he wasn't
drunk.
It's a doctored statement.
What?
It's a doctored statement.
It's the statement has been debunked.
Conclusively debunked.
Malpractice.
And he kept saying it. You know, but Dukakis did the same thing. Dukakis had a brother named Stelian. And Stelian was on a bike one time when he was an adult, I guess. I don't know what he was doing, but he was riding a bike on St. Patrick's Day, and he got hit by a driver who a hit and run driver. And and they never found the guy. It's an unsolved crime. And as the years went by, Dukakis made it into he was a victim of a drunk driver. Now it was St. Patrick's Day. I get granted that, but they don't know. He has no idea who struck his brother.
Yeah, but I give that one a pass because if you're doing a hit and run, even if you weren't drunk, you're a bad person. So you didn't stop.
Right. But he made it a drunk driver. Dukakis made him into a drunk driver.
I mean, there's more of a chance that he was than Biden's guy.
Right. Well, we know Biden was. 844-500-4242. Someone says, what about Hunter's driving? Yes, Hunter ever driven? Is it a felony if Hunter drives drunk or when he's on his crack pipe, or he's hallucinating owls outside the car when he's driving through the desert in Nevada? Is that a crime? 844-500-4242. I want to play a cut. This is from from one of the people at the rally in Virginia, in Richmond. And he's just pointing out the obvious that the mainstream media was extremely disappointed yesterday that there was no violence that they could somehow blame on Donald Trump. Cut 12.
But they mad because there wasn't no civil unrest. Now they going to be mad because there wasn't no fight. Now they going to be mad because then nobody get locked up. They going to be mad because all the officers is at peace. They going to be mad because ain't nobody out here fighting. They mad, but guess what? United we stand. That's what this was about.
That's right, brother.
I'm from St. Louis, and I ain't even had to bring no weapon. Don't need no weapon. Don't none of us need no weapon, but we got them.
We got it.
We got them. We got each other back. Why? Because united we stand. That's what it's about.
That's right.
United we stand.
That's right,
bro.
That's right.
White, black,
that's
Hispanic, right. Latino, Mexican, whatever. United we stand. They not finna make this no communist state. They not finna make us no felons. They not finna turn off law enforcement officers against us just because y'all on some nonsense.
Wow.
This is what they have to... this is what the voters have to understand. This is what's happened in Virginia. This never happened in Virginia. They never had this problem until the Democrats got control of the legislature. And then they had the governor. You had Governor Klansmen, and you had the Attorney General Blackface, and a Democrat majority in the House and the Senate. And suddenly they're trying to take your guns away.
I think every time you talk about Governor Northam, we should have that little Michael Jackson, hee hee. Just so people can remember that.
And again, New York, same thing. Republican state Senate voted out finally. It was on its last legs for a number of years. It was, basically preserved by a few Democrat turncoats in the Senate. But once they were voted out and the Democrats got full control of the Senate, now you have these laws basically legalizing infanticide and doing away with bail. And you have guys getting robbing multiple banks in New York and just being let go to rob more banks. This is what happens when Democrats get control. 844-500-4242. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call, as always. Hey, I voted for the Orange Man last time around, but Bernie seems like a real straight-up guy, so I asked his office if he could provide at least 200 people that follow him to show me a 1099 or a W-2, and I don't think any of that came to fruition. But, and Howie, one more thing. I have the only Joe Biden Delaware football rookie Heisman card, football card, if you know anybody that's looking for it. Thanks, Howie.
Thanks. It's only a matter of time until he wins the Heisman Trophy Award, you know? Or it's... You know the way it goes, Grace. The longer you're out of college, the more, you know, first you were scrub on the team, then you were starter, then you were all conference, then you were all American, then you were first round draft pick as the years go by.
I'm also noticing with the Democrats, the more every time someone dies that they knew, then it's a new chance for a new story. Once someone's gone who could verify or counteract their story, they
right.
go, oh, well, that person died. Let's see what I can do now. Let's spin this yarn.
Yeah, it's like Elizabeth Warren and the guy in the wheelchair,
right.
Her law professor. He was a decent guy while he was alive. He helped her out and gave her a lot of sage advice. He was her mentor, you might say. But once he was dead... and she needed a Me Too incident, he suddenly was chasing her around on a around the desk in his wheelchair. That's the way it works. He could have been in an iron lung, and he could have done the same thing, you know?
He must have been really, really agile to be maneuvering the wheelchair around a big desk.
And he also smoked cigarettes, too. So, I mean,
so he's probably puffing in one hand, wheeling in the other. And then what hand's he even going to try to make a move with?
I don't know.
These are the mysteries that we will never know unless the gifted storyteller sheds some light.
The gifted storyteller is, again, telling the story about being visibly pregnant. We have that one. Cut number 27.
And I probably would still be doing that work today. But like I said, my story has some twists and turns. So here's the next twist and turn in this. We're living in New Jersey. And by the end of my first year in teaching, I am visibly pregnant. And the principal did what principals did in those days, wished me luck and hired someone else for the job.
She's been busted on that lie before, and she's back to it. She can't help herself. She's pathological. She's a gifted storyteller.
So, now I'm at home. I got a baby. I can't get a job. I got to do something. So, I will go to law school.
They offered her a job, okay? It's in the minutes of the school board meeting. It's in the brief newspaper account of the school board meeting. And yet her story is a falsehood. It's a lie. It's contradicted not once but twice.
So,
and she doesn't care.
So, I'm going to tell you a story. Some people have said I'm a gifted storyteller.
Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
So, Warren's a good teacher. She's teaching Biden how to lie.
No, I think Biden knew how to lie, too. I think they're both naturals at it.
Hey, kudos to those two fathers, because I don't even know if I'm up to wrestling the 2 or 3 year old. But let's remember one thing. It's our fault for encroaching on their habitat, Howie. That's why those animals did what they did.
That's true. That's true. That's you know, that's why, you know, if you're eaten by a polar bear or a grizzly bear, it's your own damn fault, right, Lee?
That's right. And I'll tell you another thing, Howie. That's why I carry a gun in the woods.
What's your equalizer in the woods, Lee? What do you prefer?
A 45 Colt.
45 Colt,
yeah.
So you have a big Whitey Bulger gun, then, in other words. That's what the Air Force officers used to use back in the day when Whitey Bulger was in the Air Force. He had like two or three of those guns in his hide in Santa Monica when he got arrested. For old time's sake. Those are powerful guns. We shot some of those at Cape Gunworks.
Some of us shot them better than others.
Yes.
Bullseye.
That was me.
That's why they call me Bullseye Curly.
Annie Oakley Curly.
Mm-hmm.
844, thanks for the call, Lee. 844-500, I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
How exactly would you detain immigrants, if at all, in a Biden administration?
The way we did when we reformed the system with the DACA, I would not retain them behind bars. They show
None
up.
No,
here's what they do. They show up. Sometimes
they
you have
up.
An ankle bracelet. You set a hearing. We have to surge. We have to surge to the border. To the areas where people are being held. Get rid of all the cages, everybody out of prisons. Be in a position where if the most you put on is an ankle bracelet, that you give a date, you're gonna show up when we have to for an immigration hearing, and they show up.
Is that for children, adults and children?
Across the board, totally across the board.
He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. They show up, 99% of them don't show up. We have to surge? He's using the word surge. That's not even a word from his administration. That's a word from the Bush administration. And it has to do with the Mideast in Iraq. Surge. And they're not in prisons. The guy claims to be a lawyer, but he's saying these people are in prisons. They're being detained. There's a big difference between being detained and getting four meals a day, which is what they're feeding them down there. Not that they're getting in anymore because they're stopping them before they get in. But there's a big difference between being in a detention center with little games and everything and being in a prison. He doesn't know what he's an idiot. He really is an idiot. I don't think he was ever that bright. But there's a lot less going on upstairs than there used to be. 603 says, we rent our home in Lee, New Hampshire, and this weekend an Elizabeth Warren supporter came by to visit with the previous renter. I pulled up just as she was walking to the door. I was polite. I explained we were going to vote for Trump and that we have no will towards anybody, but that's our decision, and good luck to your candidate. This woman couldn't understand how I was able to communicate with her in proper English. She commented, you're so articulate. You're changing my perceptions. At that point, I realized how brainwashed these liberal Dems are. They really picture the Clampets or the voter base of Trump. I said, have a nice day and please be careful on the ice. But as she drove away, I really wanted to make the Indian war cry. Oh, la, 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 la. So maybe there is a little Jethro in me.
About a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food and up to the ground come a bubbling crew.
Yeah, I've had that experience, too, where people are like, I just want to sit down with you and understand, you know, how you can like Trump and where that comes from. It's like you're a science experiment or something.
How smart can they be if they're that dumb? If they don't know anybody who voted for Trump and they don't understand why people would like a more liberty and less regulation and less oppression, less persecution for your political or religious beliefs? I mean, how can they not understand that unless they're Stalinists themselves? Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, love your program. But
Thank
I you. Wanted to remind you
that when Clinton was being impeached by the Republicans, really for political views, they were doing it on the guise that he had sex and lied about it. You were as excited as
but
I've
he did
ever seen.
He committed crimes. He lied under oath, did he not, Steve?
How? Yeah, but that was, you know.
Yeah, but
really,
don't give me yeah, but and then wait a second, Steve. And then they said nobody goes to jail for lying in a civil deposition. And the Wall Street Journal did a little research, and I believe the number at the time in 1998 was 113 people in the United States were in prison for lying in a civil deposition. So should the chief law enforcement officer of the country be allowed to lie under oath?
Howie, and then it was a complete fiasco for the Republicans.
You're not answering the question. And then he basically told his secretary to get Monica Lewinsky or somebody else to lie under oath. That's called suborning perjury, right?
We're Is still it not? Talking about who kissed whom behind the barn. And, you know,
Wait a second. Do you understand the context in which he was lying? It was a civil lawsuit filed against him by Paula Jones. And he had been the president when the Democrat supermajority in Congress in 1993 changed the law so that it was now legal to ask a defendant in a sexual harassment civil lawsuit about their prior sexual history. He signed the legislation allowing him, people like himself, to be questioned. So you're saying even though he signed the law so that we would have to obey it, all of us sexual harassers, he didn't have to obey it himself, Steve? Are you defending that? Are you defending it, really? Big difference. I'm Howie Carr.